Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from beautiful Mount Shasta, California, one of the world's most spiritual places. I can't believe it's so pretty out here today. It's about 69 degrees. Today's broadcast is actually being transmitted by Skype to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, with over 250,000 listeners worldwide in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. Today, I'll be bringing on my good friend Simon Parks live from England from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time. And then from 3 to 4 p.m., I'll be celebrating my 65th birthday, which is tomorrow, and the 6th anniversary of my radio show, which is just an amazing thing. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support, because without your support, I couldn't accomplish this. The ascension of the planet is rapidly rising, and I know that we're creating a much better and happier world thanks to all of you listening today. And I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their wonderful support, Marion Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. I'd also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course KKNW, without whose help this show would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I help people contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. I also want to thank everyone so much for their generous support for a new library for the Hopi Indians, and also for the new clean water efforts that I've been working on for the last year and a half for both the Hopi and Navajo. If you'd like to support my efforts in getting clean water for the Hopi and Navajo, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England. We have so much to talk about. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah, so I'm fine. Ted, you sound like you have a bit of a cold.
Well, to be honest with you, Simon, I'm in the tail end of bronchitis. I'm almost over it now. I've been on medication. And you told me before to take a break, and I didn't. And so if you don't pay attention, then your body will take a break for you. And that's what she did. She took a break for me, and I am feeling better. I'm almost at the end of my medication, but I've decided to take off. I'll still be doing my radio show the rest of the year, but I'll be taking time off for the rest of the year to get some much needed rest and relaxation that I've needed for several years.
I'm glad to hear that, Ted. So, I'm sure the audience will forgive you when you cough. They'll understand that you're coughing because you're being a brave soldier and carrying on.
Well, thank you, Simon, for saying that. I almost didn't do my show today, but I've worked hard to get to this point in life, and it's the 6th anniversary of both my radio show, and it's my birthday tomorrow too. So I said, well, I can't miss this. So I decided to go ahead and have the show.
I'm sure lots of people tomorrow will be wishing you a happy birthday, Ted.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Simon, for saying that. I really appreciate it. I also want to thank the Mount Shasta Library here in beautiful Mount Shasta, California. They've been extremely gracious to me. They've just given me a bunch of cough drops and cup of coffee and all kinds of things, little goodies to keep me going today. So I can't thank them enough for all their help. But I want to thank you, Son, for that wonderful meditation that you'll be doing tomorrow for both California and for Australia. That's at 10 o'clock Greenwich Mean Time. Is that right?
Yes, 10 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, Greenwich Mean Time, which for the U.S. will be, depending on your time zones, will be in the afternoon, and for Australia will be early morning. So I've chosen that time because it's doable for both continents. One is for the fires in Australia, which suddenly just started, and the other is for the fires in California, which have restarted. So one meditation will do both, because it's both about the fires. It, you know, your loving prayers, your loving energy will work, whether it's Australia or California, it doesn't matter, because it's the same issue.
Right. Well, I'm close to boots on the ground here. We don't have any fires right in the Shasta area, but it's not that far away where there are fires going on. And I've been able to talk to locals here who know people in those areas. And actually, there was a report, a videotape, just yesterday, Simon, of a – it looked like something out of the Vietnam War, where they had these fires like they had these fire guns, Simon, where they were shooting fire across the hills just outside of Los Angeles near the Getty Museum. And that was not natural. Somebody was using that to actually instigate fires on this hillside. It's called the Getty Fire, and I don't know what happened as a result, but there was a whole video of it, and there were other reports of that of actually the area right around where is it? It's north of San Francisco, Sonoma, where they were somebody was spraying all kinds of fire accelerants in the atmosphere the last 2 weeks, so that when these fires started, they went up like a match everywhere. So a lot of these fires aren't natural, Simon. I don't know what you're hearing there, but this is what I'm hearing here on Boots on the Ground, close to where the fires are being happening here in California.
All right, Ted. I think that it's always California that gets hit, and that's something that can't be got away from. It's California, the go-to state if you want to start a fire. Think of all the chemtrailing, all the aluminum, which has fallen to the ground, and that acts like a reflector. So whenever there's any heat, it actually means that it catches fire faster. I've had a number of reports, just like you have, about these, anything from a helicopter to a flying saucer, friend. But basically, they've seen fire coming out. And it doesn't matter whether that's good guys shooting at the kebab or bad guys shooting at good guys. The point is that innocent people, innocent Californians, are dying and getting injured, and this has got to stop. And that's why I wanted to do the meditation, because we've got to mobilize the good people to put a stop to this.
I agree with you completely, Simon, and I'm so happy you're asking for a worldwide meditation. So I want all my listeners, let's see, I think tomorrow, 10 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time is 3 p.m. in Los Angeles, or 3 p.m. in Seattle. Of course, that would be 3 p.m. in L.A. That would be 6 p.m. in New York, 5 p.m. in Chicago. So we can do it. We can do it throughout the United States and bring a meditation around. How has the meditation been for the Amazon fires, by the way?
Yeah, just backtrack a bit. I chose that time because it was a Saturday, and people, you know, were less likely to be at work and so might be able to do it. I've got three – excuse me. I'm catching your cold.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not, Simon.
I've got three active members. When I say active, I mean they continually write to me in South America, who are on the periphery of the Amazon. They reported the last time we did a meditation What they said was the amount of smoke drifting across appreciably stopped. And that is why the main media have dropped. You know, it's not a big story anymore. Now, some people would say, oh, well, that's just a coincidence. You know, Simon's group did a meditation and the wind direction changed or this happened or that happened. The point is, when good people do a meditation, then Source or God, whatever you want to call it, hears that call. Mm-hmm. Source hears that call. Mm-hmm. And I think that when Source hears that call, it responds. So I don't care if it's right. The wind that changed or there was a rainstorm, something happened, as long as it reduced. And that's what we need to do for California and Australia. I've got my coordinator in Australia. She is my main operator. Because we, you know, my original Australian coordinator, he resigned, and we've got a replacement in now. And she, her home is 1 mile from the fire, 1 mile. And the the power companies turned off the service to her house, and then the firefighters were there, and they turned the power back on again. So, you know, we're all a big family. Wow. We're all a family, and so what affects one of us affects all of us.
Right. Right, exactly. Have they determined a cause for the Australian fires, Simon? I mean, these things.
No, you mean officially? No, there isn't anything official yet. They haven't put a story out. We'll wait for the official story to come out, and then we'll see what it is.
I wanted to tell you, I want to thank you so much for your earlier podcast this week. I watched it regarding the event happening in Seattle on November 3rd. Yep. And I got a couple of emails from listeners last night asking me to mention this on the air today with you. Okay. And also asking for a meditation for peace and calm with that. I personally, Simon, I don't see anything happening in Seattle on November 3rd. It's a beautiful city. I don't see any problems, but I may be wrong. But I think it's always good, of course, to send out lots of good energy and love and light so that nothing does happen.
Well, I won't be doing a meditation for Seattle at the moment simply because I want the focus on these fires. But what I can say is that let's backtrack a bit. There was a huge hype a few days ago that there was going to be multiple explosions across Europe. Nuclear facilities were going to be targeted. Cities were going to be targeted. And this caught on wildfire and went right across the internet. And lots of social media sites were carrying it. Now, I received the same information, I guess, from the same source that others did, but I was very suspicious. I was very suspicious of that information, and I did not receive confirmation. So I didn't call it. All I did on my website was just repeat and say, this is what's being said, but I can't call it because I have information, and I'm jolly glad that I did. And I'd have felt very difficult if I called it and said all this, and then nothing occurred. But the Seattle one,
right.
I have a concern for Seattle in December, so next month. So we'll be looking at that quite closely, and if we need a meditation, we will. So Seattle, I never expected anything at this stage. I never saw anything, but I believe there is a slight possibility of something in December, but we'll look into that.
Well, thanks very much for mentioning it. This is where I live, of course. It's a beautiful area, a lot of good people here. I think if we're vigilant and if we send lots of love and light out, it'll definitely help turn the tide, and so we don't have to deal with disasters. And I think – I don't know how you feel. I know you feel that – this way too, Simon, but like if people think that negative event's going to happen, that can also help, you know, create the energy for something bad to happen. So it's always good to remain positive and to send lots of love and light to a situation like the Amazon fires, for example. that could, you know, that, and I know that your meditation helped that situation down there.
I totally agree. And I think lots of your listeners will agree. That is why I did not add my personal energy or the organization that I created, Connecting Consciousness. We didn't back this, frankly, in my opinion, was very much a fear-based, all of these explosions, et cetera, because I just didn't see it. It just wasn't there. And I wasn't going to feed the fire. And that's not meant as a joke. But, I mean, I wasn't going to feed the fire because even people who consider themselves to be spiritual don't fully appreciate that if you buy into something, you actually give it the oomph, as we say in Great Britain, the energy to keep moving.
Sure. Here, absolutely. 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 Well, I'll be boots on the ground here for you, Simon. And if anything that I do find out that's significant, I'll sure let you know. Yeah. You mentioned in your post, I was able to review your post about the Deutsche Bank wobble. Could you go into that a little bit? What's happening with Deutsche Bank?
Sure. It's been, I wouldn't say it's a favorite topic of mine. I think it's a favorite topic of many people who have been predicting some form of either from a general collapse to some sort of re-alteration or restructuring. There has been a very interesting issue with the Israeli embassies all closing down for a period of time right across the globe. And at the same time, information coming that there is a financial issue on the way, a little bit greater than the Lehman crisis in 2008. But on the positive side, it would be very narrowly focused. So, in other words, there are signs now that there is an acceptance among certain elite people that there has to be some form of financial alteration. And one of the key markers of that will be Deutsche Bank, because it is the linchpin for Europe. And you couldn't have a financial restructuring without something happening to Deutsche Bank. So all eyes should be on Deutsche Bank for the next 4 to 6 weeks. Let's see what happens, because whilst the establishment news won't cover the truth, that have to cover anything that happens to Deutsche. And if something happens to Deutsche, don't please think that's a negative thing. Be more aware that that's because there are rebalancing going on, predominantly coming from the US and from the Asian market, and Europe is sort of caught in the middle. So keep an eye on Deutsche. I think there might be some very interesting news in the few weeks to come.
Do you think long-term, do you think the EU actually will survive? They've had all these troubles, and all that brings in also, too, into the UK a general election and Brexit as well.
As long as smaller countries feel they need a bigger country to protect them, they will always want to join some sort of club or union. And as long as the country is getting more out of it than they put in, they'll always want to be part of it. Now, when Great Britain leaves the European Union, I have no doubt that they will. You know, that we will. That means every other country's got to find more money to fill the gap, and that's when you'll find other countries starting to complain, because the amount of money they pay in will be greater than the money they get back. So that's the first point. The second point is, I'm very delighted that there's a general election in Great Britain, and that's to be held on the 12th of December, because we couldn't go on any longer. We don't have a government. It's not moving. In Israel, who have a proportional representation system, they've got a long history of having governments that just can't do anything anyway. And Great Britain was always seen as the country that produced strong government. Well, this has been very difficult for us, and so I'm delighted that finally we're going to have an election.
Interesting. Who do you think will come on top finally? It's hard to tell, Simon, or who do you think is going to win?
I'm absolutely convinced that the Conservative Party under the present Prime Minister will not only win, but will win by quite a large margin.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting.
That Brexit will happen. There's so many dynamics, and you know, if anybody is interested, then they can write a question to my podcast, and you know, but for this show, talking to Americans and many other people around the world, the dynamics of the politics within Britain is the most complicated that I've seen for 30 odd years, and therefore it isn't just a straight understanding, but I've looked at everything, and in fact today I was looking at some information, and I actually think that there is only one result, and that will be the Boris Johnson backing with a working majority, which means that Great Britain will leave the European Union before the end of January 2020, unless of course this really big happens to shake up my calculation.
I was traveling in Europe earlier this year, so I'm giving some presentations in London and as well as in Germany. I'll never forget when I was flying from Frankfurt back to London. I was leaving Germany, and I just happened to ask some German customs officials about Brexit, and all they did was roll their eyes, got real big and rolled their eyes. people have been complaining about that it's going to cause border problems. I don't think it will, actually. I think people will get along. They did it before the European Union, didn't they? They got along just fine.
I'm old enough to remember before Britain was in the European Union, and we had a most excellent relationship with America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all the countries that were part of Europe. And then when we joined Europe, we began to from those countries. And that's a great shame. But there's one key point here. The Brexit argument in Great Britain is not unlike the argument between do you like President Trump or do you hate President Trump. But the one key point
interesting
here in Great Britain that many people who are passionate believers in staying in the European Union, one thing they haven't understood is that there are a number of people senior in Europe who now don't want Britain. They are just heartily sick of the politics of Brexit, particularly the French. And I think I wouldn't be going too far to say that the French want rid of Great Britain. In other words, although the budget would take a massive hit when Britain comes out because we pay so much in, I think that the freedom to not have to deal with Britain is a price they're worth paying. So there are a lot of people in my country who would go running up to Europe with flags, and they might be very disappointed at the way that the European Union now begins to push people, saying, look, please, we don't want you anymore. And I think that's something that hasn't been understood.
Well, that's an interesting concept as an American for me to hear that, Simon, to say that the freedom from dealing with the British. How funny. Is it because they don't like the UK politics? Is that part of it? Or
no, you see, the point is that Great Britain is an island, and all people, I mean, think about Long Island. People who live on an island tend to be very independent. They tend to, don't tell me what to do. And the problem with Britain is that the last time we were ever invaded, successfully beaten, was in the year 1066. So for 1,000 years, Britain has never been beaten in a war. Now think about that. In 1,000 years, nobody has come over and beaten this country. So the British people tend to be a bit like the Americans, and don't take this the wrong way, please, but quite sure of themselves, quite confident. And I think other countries who have continually been beaten or invaded or what have you, they don't know how to handle the British. And that's why Britain's natural friend is America. Now, that seems odd if you think how we all started with the 1776 and all the rest of it. But reality is, that Britain and America are natural allies, much more than any other European country.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Looking from historical and geographic, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
I mean,
it makes
you,
a lot of
think,
sense, Simon. Thank you for.
If you think in the War of Independence, it was the French that actually worked quite well with the American. I'm not going to call you rebels. I'm not going to put that.
You can call us rebels. That's fine.
No, not at all. Because then, no.
Yeah.
The people who always should have owned America, let me put it to you like that. But what happened was that the French, that the Americans found that they couldn't, over the years, they couldn't deal with the French. They couldn't make deals that the French would hold to. And so the Americans, even to this day, have been very cautious with the French. Now, what they found with the British is that you can sit down with the British on a Monday, and there's still the Brits will still be dealing in the same way a week later. So over modern history, naturally the two countries came together, which means, of course, that we have a very American-British attitude, and a lot of our European neighbours can't stand that from us. So we've always been separate. We've always been different. If you look at it, we've always been at war with one European country or another over the last 500 years.
Fascinating. Excuse me, Simon, I got a cough. Hold on.
Of course you have. Don't worry, Ted. That's why I told you that you weren't well.
Sorry, my friend. I'm almost over this. You had another post on your website about, I hope I pronounced this guy's name right. It's Abu Kabir Al. Baku. Okay, Baku. Yeah. How important was he, and how is important now that he's dead?
Right. He was much more important than anybody realized. Outside of the group, shall we say, he was a great organizer. The point about Baku was that he was able to organize in a way that most from that region were not able to, and he was a great coordinator. And President Trump spoke the truth when he said that he was getting cheesed off with people coming into his office and saying, hey, we got rid of this one, we got rid of that one. And Trump is reported on record as saying, yeah, but I don't know who they are. What about this Baku guy? And he then basically, Trump that is, basically said to his men, you got to make this man a target, because if I look at what they call the kafilah, the actual empire that was built up, he was said, this is the guy behind it. Why aren't you doing it? So I don't know if your audience are aware, but $19 million was offered to anybody who could locate this person. And I will tell you that the CIA worked with Kurdish fighters on the ground. I hope I'm not going to give any names away, so there's no problem here.
It's okay. You can make it cryptic. It's fine.
Well, I will do, because I need to protect everyone. CIA worked with the Kurdish fighters. Mm-hmm. The Kurdish fighters infiltrated a guy right in to this guy's innocence, and that's how it all happened. So, it wasn't. This is the funny part. I say funny. It wasn't down to billions of dollars of spy technology. It wasn't down to spy cameras. It was down to good old-fashioned detective work on the ground.
Wow.
So for all of the huge power of the United States, and I'm not being disrespectful, for all of the huge power, couldn't work. They had to go down on the ground and do it, which just is a good salutary lesson for everybody, that technology is no replacement for men and women and the work they do.
Well, that's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for explaining that, Simon. I've had several questions come in from listeners about China. And, of course, the Chinese government is a, some say, is a repressive government. And with the rising vibration of the planet, however, they probably won't survive. What's your take on the Chinese government over the short, medium, long term?
On the short term, they will dig their nails in. They're going to resist very, very, very tenaciously. When I can cast your listeners' minds back to 1989, 1990, when the Berlin Wall came down, the very last communist leader to fall was a guy called Ceausescu. And the reason that he was so hard to get, apart from deals that were being struck sideways, was his secret police force. Now, when an organization has very strong control or the levers of power, they're very hard to prize out. When in 1979 the Shah of Iran was removed by the revolution, they were able to do so because the guys that the Shah relied on were not happy. They were unhappy. The point in China is that a lot of people believe themselves to be happy when truly they're not. And that is the real accolade to propaganda, where you tell a group of people who are downtrodden and very unhappy that actually they are. And that's so what's going to happen is China will change, but they will be one of the last countries to do so. But they can't stop the change, and it will just take a bit longer.
Sure, understandable. Isn't that the whole point of George Orwell's 1984, Simon, where everyone is kind of brainwashed and they're all sort of like smiling zombies, you know?
in George Orwell's book, the difficulty there we need to put across is that some animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And what we saw before the end of communism in what was the Soviet Union was that all the diplomats, all the government officials who were telling the workers to live off potatoes and a handful of bread, you know, they all had satellite television or cable television. They had these excellent mansions. And so when you've got corruption, you have dissent. And where you have dissent, you have the power for change. Now, we've seen it in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is part of China, although it does have more liberal laws. But what China must be absolutely terrified of is that infection, as they would see it, spreading to mainland China. And that is why they're determined to bottle up Hong Kong. They don't want that liberation view to come across to the mainland. But you see, the thing is, in the modern age, you can't shut it. It's not like the day of the telephone and the letter and that's it. With the way of the internet, a lot of people in China are very unhappy, and they're looking at Hong Kong and thinking, hey, they're getting the laws changed. So let's see where we go with it. But I'm actually like you. I'm hopeful. Short-term difficulty, medium-term much better.
I agree with you. Yeah, thank you, my friend. I agree with you, Simon. And I had a report last week, actually, that the Chinese Parliament just passed a law requiring all Chinese nationals, whether in China or outside of the country, whether they're working, for example, for a British company or an American company, a Canadian company, European company, directing them to spy on their employer and to send confidential and to steal state secrets if necessary and intellectual property secrets and send it back to China. Have you heard anything about that new law that was passed?
I haven't heard that one, but there's no coincidence that President Trump basically has said that he's not happy with China being involved in any technology that has any bearing on American defense. You know, think of all the missiles, think of electronic equipment, which much of it has come from China. It really has. And with the way things are going, President Trump is saying, I'm not very happy about that. And we're seeing the problems between
all. Yeah. Right. This source that I came in contact recently also told me that if you look at the motherboards of all the computers made in the United States, like Hewlett Packard, Acer, they've got a microchip in the motherboard itself, Simon, which is something like negative 50 microns. It's extremely small, but it phones home they told me it phones home every night to China. It can easily download whatever's on your computer, send it back to a master computer in China, and they can track you if they want. And this is something that was just recently discovered by some intelligence agencies here in the United States, and they didn't even know it was happening. They saw the computers, for example, in these intelligence agencies in D.C., active late at night, and nobody could figure out why until they started using like a microscope, electron microscope, Simon, and they'd go into the motherboards, and they'd see these little chips that the Chinese had put in to all these sensitive computers, and they're all sending the information back to China every night.
Well, it shows that the Americans have the same technology as China or better, because I haven't heard that, Ted, but it shows mm-hmm. that if the Americans subjected the motherboard to an electron microscope or a very high-powered microscope, that tells me that the Americans also have the same technology, and that's exactly what. So I take comfort from that, because it means that the Americans are not caught out. I think what it shows us was that they, if this is true, and I've not heard, is that they did not expect mm-hmm. a supposed ally, because they're not at war with China, they didn't expect a supposed ally to be doing that in machines or hardware or software or anything like that, and then selling it to Americans.
Right.
I think it's the breach in trust that's gone. That's the problem. There's no trust now
right.
between America and China, and that is why mm-hmm. one of the reasons why President Trump stuck the tariffs on, because he was basically saying to the Chinese, overstep the mark. I mean, just quickly,
yeah,
this I know is true. I've had this, and I know this is that maybe mm-hmm. many of your listeners, Ted, don't realize that in many parts of China, there is no money. There's no cash. You are only allowed to use electronic currency. And I think most of your audience will be shocked when I tell them that the government has access to everyone's bank account in China. Now, this is the story, and it's deadly true. A guy jaywalked in China, and the face recognition cameras in China, so you know, you get your photograph taken by one of these cameras on the sidewalk. It passes that across the database, and it automatically tells them who you are and where you live. But it does more than that in China. It actually gives you straight to the bank account. Anyway, they fined him the equivalent of $30. So it's not a lot, but that's
oh,
a lot
wow.
of Chinese people. It fined him the equivalent
sure, sure.
of $30 for jaywalking. But you know what? It had come out. It had come out of his bank account before he'd even crossed to get to the other part of the sidewalk. So there was no court case. There was no letter.
Oh my God!
They just accessed his bank, took the money out, and so by the time he'd crossed the road and got onto the other sidewalk, his bank account had been deducted the equivalent of $30. Now there was a meeting here in Great Britain, and some people from Google, and they were asked this. And they were genuinely shocked, and they said, there's no way we have created this technology to be used in this fashion. And so the interviewer said to them, yes, but don't you think a government will just do what China's done? And these guys, these big captains of industry, were absolutely stumped, because they
sure.
just assumed that government would put all the dots together and do it. Now, that's happening in China now. So no wonder
well.
President Trump. No wonder President Trump is pushing back against them, because you Americans and we British, we don't want that coming to our country anytime soon.
Right, right. Our values are different than that, of course. And it would be nice if that's the importance of my program and your Connecting Consciousness, Simon, of getting the word out of getting the other side of the story out, because if you just listen to the mass media in the United States, and probably Britain as well, you don't get the full story. And then they paint Trump, for example, as being nuts, and yet there are valid reasons for what he does. So if you understand the full background, then it makes it much easier to understand his decisions.
Right, but let's split this a bit, because one of the reasons the Chinese are the way they are is that if we go back to the Second World War, and prior to the Second World War, when the Japanese invaded China, although Japan mm-hmm. is a very small country with a very small population, they were relatively successful because the Chinese population was very disheartened and was quite agricultural and backward. And so right. the Chinese are absolutely determined to get on, put that all behind themselves, and to not ever be in that position again. And so that is why, I don't know if you have a chance, but every year I watch the Russian and the Chinese military parades. And the Chinese parade is a very interesting one to watch, because mm-hmm. you then see soldiers with conviction. There's a difference between what we call asphalt soldiers, meaning those that just parade up and down on a piece of tarmac or asphalt. There's a difference between that and people. Mm-hmm. And the Chinese army now is nothing like the army it was 20, 30 years ago. It's a force to be reckoned with. That is why President Trump has a very difficult position to move. And I think he's playing it right, because he does not want to antagonize China, but at the same sure. time, it doesn't want America to be taken over by it. I will just finish off by saying my fears are for Australia, because the Chinese are buying heavily into Australia. Mm-hmm. They own large corporations or parts of corporations. They own real estate. They own docks. If Australia is not careful, the Chinese will be able to exert a huge amount of political influence on them in the next 5 years.
I agree with you totally. And I've heard that too, actually, from friends in Australia, where they have a tremendous amount of political influence down there.
Right.
And it's insidious, because people don't even realize it's happening. I think the Chinese have even tried it in the United States as well, political influence here.
Well, just quickly come in, Ted, and save your throat. The port in California, that was bought under President Obama by the Chinese government. And I know for a fact from what happened. Oh, it's good news, though. President Trump said, look here, all of these freight ships, all these container ships are owned by China. If China also owns all the ports, then they've got a stranglehold on us, because not only do they own all the shipping, but they own where they dock. We can't have that. Mm-hmm. So it's not been widely reported, but your audience can go and do some due diligence on this. But President Trump, somehow, goodness knows how he did it, he got the Chinese to sell the port they owned in California to another country. So Trump is actually distancing himself and distancing or unlocking America from China's control. So that's pivotal, that he actually got the Chinese to give back or sell back the port, and he mm-hmm. sold it to another country. So those people, we call them white hats, they're actually in the know mm-hmm. of how close to losing democracy certain countries were about 3 years ago.
Fascinating. Well, thank you for explaining that. I know that I'd heard years ago that the Panama Canal now is actually owned by a Chinese company. Is that right? Is that still true?
I don't know that they own it. I think they've got lots of shares in it. I don't know if it's a controlling share, but mm-hmm. I know that they invested heavily in it simply because they then would be in a position to pinch it off or close it off, because they sure. could then economic problem. But I'm not sure if it's 100% control or just 40, 50, 60% of it.
Why would any U.S. government knowingly allow a country like China to control 40 to 50% of that strategic shipping lane? Is beyond me, frankly, Simon. But
well, because until very recently, America was not only broke privately, it was broke publicly, and under the time of Obama, he was desperate to get foreign currency in and would do almost anything to bring foreign currency in which had some value. And so that's why he wasn't the only president. There was the Bush before him, but basically trying to get real money in, and the Chinese don't want paper dollars, but they do want infrastructure. They want buildings. And so the Chinese always went for real estate over paper money, because that's where they saw the value. But of course, if you do that enough, you find you have to circle the wagons, because basically everyone's surrounding you and you're cut off. And that's how America was becoming. And that's why the United States military became so concerned 3, 4, 5 years ago, because they saw America being economically isolated, not militarily, but economically isolated. And that's one of the reasons that they, military, Trump, because they wanted a man to push back against what they saw was foreign intervention.
Wow, that makes good sense. Yeah. Yeah. Simon, we've got about 7 minutes left, 7, 8 minutes left. And I want to give you the rest of the time to talk about whatever topics you'd like to talk about, my friend.
Sure. I think that this is the most active time I've seen for about 5 years. And what I mean by that is, although on the media it doesn't seem that monumentous, the stuff going on that sadly is not being reported by the mainstream media is phenomenal. There is such a lot going on the economic front, on the military front, on the political front. And I'm quite heartened by the way that certain people are losing their positions. If you look at Israel, the Prime Minister, goodness knows how long, Benjamin Netanyahu, lost the election and has been unable to form a government. So his president has gone to the next man and said, can you form a government? Now, with Netanyahu no longer Prime Minister, a lot of things that he held together, the great network that he controlled, not just in Israel but outside of Israel, that will begin to fall apart. We saw it as an analogy here with the Clinton Foundation when Hillary was running for president. Lots of countries gave very large amounts of money to the Clinton Foundation, supposedly for philanthropic or charitable reasons. And then when she failed to win, they all stopped paying in. And I actually asked the question once, well, if it's a charity, it shouldn't matter, social work. Well, it shouldn't matter who's the president. You're giving for the cause.
That's right.
The very fact that they stopped was because two reasons, I believe. One, because Hillary Clinton couldn't pay them back. If she wasn't president, how could she reward them? And secondly, almost as if, not blackmail, that's too strong a word, but almost a case of, well, she's not in power, so we can breathe relief now. And that big wake-up call, because I will give to charity regardless of who is my prime minister, because I believe in the organization. And the very fact that the official records show that the amount of money donated to the Clinton Foundation has just dropped through the bottom is very suspicious. Right. So there are changes going on in government which I think will have some great benefit. I'm really hoping that there's going to be more transparency this month, November, from your government in relation to some of the issues. If we look at this impeachment inquiry, And remember, of course, mm-hmm. that the House hasn't actually voted for impeachment. What they've voted for is to make public their discussions about impeachment. Mm-hmm. And that's a real key point, because non-Americans don't understand that, generally speaking. So we have a situation where there is no impeachment process, they're just talking about it. And I think that the more this goes on, the more it's going to play into the hands of the Republicans, because at some point, this wagon that the, you know, it's not just the Democrats, but the anti-Trump mm-hmm. brigade, the wheels are going to come off this, and there's got to be some serious questions asked by the public as to, well, what the heck was the point? How many millions have you spent on this inquiry to do what? Absolutely nothing. You know, we're not talking about a man who's shot yeah. somebody or done this or done that. We're talking about an American president who has right. been reasonably open. So all I'm saying here, Ted, is that there's some big things present and not very far away.
Yeah, I agree. I think people are already asking questions about the so-called Mueller investigation. Why we did it? All this money wasted with no results. So I think people, yeah, I think you're right, Simon. People are already starting to ask about it.
Well, you see, it's very sad, because whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. The argument that President Trump is using is a powerful one. His argument is, mm-hmm. hey, you can't beat me at the ballot box, you can't beat me at the polls, so you're going to impeach me. Now, that's a very powerful argument, because the Democrats aren't countering that. So what I'm saying is that I'm predicting President Trump to be re-elected in November 2020 with a bigger majority, and it's looking to me at this stage, it's a long way to go, it's looking to me that he could take back the House. Now, mm-hmm. if that's the case, there will be a lot of people who will have to go to the shredding machines the night after the election, because mm-hmm. your Republicans are going to come after them.
Sure. Sure. That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting time. We have about 2 minutes left, Simon. And okay. I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Well, I'll just make it personal and say I've always been worried about you, Ted, because the amount of work you do, you put out more than you take into yourself. And that's called service to others. But the problem mm-hmm. is, if we don't look after ourselves and we then are mm-hmm. not fully effective, we're actually doing a disservice to the very people that we're here to serve. So that's why I always said to you, mm-hmm. take some breaks, take some breaks, take some breaks. Because I can see a general collapse, because you are giving more, you need to take something in. So let this bit of a health issue with you now be a lesson, so that you're a little bit more caring about yourself.
Okay. Thank you, Simon. I'm going to take that to heed. I'm going to take that to heed. I really will.
Well, I don't think there's many people... Ted, I don't think there's many people that give it to you straight. I don't think there's many people, but you and I have met each other more than once. We know each other very well.
Right.
And, you know, people like you, me, and lots of others did not come here to fail. We did not come here to fall at the final hurdle. Now, we have a physical body. The soul is unbreakable, but the physical body is. And you've got to look after yourself, because there's more to come. The battle's still to be won.
Yeah.
And it's no good if you're lying in a bed coughing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you,
pleasure.
Simon. I'll be taking the rest of the year off. I'll still do my show. But thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Simon.
Oh, God bless. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you, my friend. Please stay tuned, friends. Thank you so much, Simon. Please stay tuned, friends, for our next hour. We'll be celebrating the 6th-year anniversary of my radio show. Thank you so much for listening today.
「彼方に光」